And with us now is the National Party leader, Christopher Luxon. Good morning.
Lorena Corin, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for joining us. Okay, let's get straight into the response to Omicron. Does National support the move to the red setting in the traffic light system?
Yeah, we do, reluctantly, and I think it's a function of that we're buying time because we're unprepared, and that's more our bigger point, is that, yes, it's a fair enough move. We need to have some restrictions in place to try and slow it up while we get prepared. But the bottom line and the bigger question is, why haven't we been hunting these actions down and actually making sure they're happening for real rather than just talking about them?
Which actions aren't being carried out?
Well, let's talk about rapid antigen testing, right? We've been talking about that in the media and in Parliament for 9 months. And the reality is we've now got less than 4.6 million units, which is one per person. We've had about 300 providers ask, as I understand it, for approvals. We've only approved 9 just recently. And when you start to realise our system will get very overwhelmed and our PCR nasal tests won't be able to keep up, we actually need these rapid antigen tests, because that's how, if you're a business, you're going to be able to protect the supply chain to make sure your workforce is well or not well. We need to make sure then when they're unwell that we can get the support, treatment, virals to them, et cetera. But if you even look at New South Wales, for example, you know, it's going to have 10 million rapid antigen tests for students and for teachers when they go back to school.
Not without shortages, though. I mean, there's a global shortage, isn't there?
Yes, well, there is, but the question for you, for us, is that there have been companies reaching out to the government for a long, long time, for months, and actually they haven't followed through and actually placed those orders. So it doesn't matter. I mean, we are where we are right now, but all I'm just trying to say, without trying to be critical for criticism's sake, we actually have been really unprepared. And there's a big difference between talking about stuff like rapid antigen testing and is it actually ubiquitous? Is it available in supermarkets?
Yeah, well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because there has been criticism for some time about the rapid antigen tests. And why is it that the ministry, it seemed, was reluctant? Now, it would seem that was the case because of, if you're in an elimination strategy and if you're still trying to stamp it out, which is phase one of Omicron, then you don't necessarily want to flood the system with those rat tests, do you? Is that what lies behind it?
Well, I think, Corin, the frustration has been we've had, you know, nasal PCR tests. We've had a very big aversion from the government around saliva PCR testing. There's other testing like molecular PCR tests as well as what we've got here with rapid antigen tests. But, you know, the bottom line for me, you know, having run an airline and actually thinking about risk and managing risk well and the redundancies you put into a system, this is a classic where you'd want that redundancy in the system. We should have been an and, not an or. And so now what we need to do is the companies that have been trying to talk to the government, they've been rebuffed over months. We need to scramble, talk to them and secure a supply and get it here as quickly as we can and make it as freely available.
How would you use the rapid antigen tests now? Do you support the idea that, in fact, when you're still trying to, okay, it might only be a week or two, but you're still trying to stamp out, you don't use it now, do you?
Yeah, Corin, we need them now. I mean, we really need it, and we needed them months ago, to be honest with you. We can do PCR nasal testing and rapid antigen testing. Many countries around the world have for months. You actually upload the result of your rapid antigen test that you do at your home. If it's positive or negative, you send the result up on your app, and then that's how the government also tracks what's actually happening with cases, because the cases will become far greater than the testing cases.
Yes, but the point is that the case numbers aren't high enough to justify that yet. I mean, because of you only get an 80% success rate, you wait until, yes, but you want to use them for sure when there are thousands of daily cases.
Sure, but Corin, you know, we could within a week, as Chris Hipkins has said this morning, you could have tens of thousands of cases very quickly. Within days of that, our testing systems is overwhelmed. So all I'm just saying to you is, as someone who's managed stuff and actually executed things and hunt things down and make sure it's actually happening for real on the ground, not just talking about it, we're thinking about maybe placing an order, or we might have placed an order, but is it actually here? When does it get here? How many providers? How do businesses get hold of it? Because no businesses have been able to get hold of them because it's been illegal to do so. So, you know, those are the kinds of questions that I'm just trying to get to, which is now we're in a place where we're in a, you know, quite an urgent situation, and, you know, we need to get going with these things, and certainly rapid antigen test is one of them.
Okay.
I'd say to you, health workforce and through immigration has been another challenge. I'd say ICU beds has been another challenge as well.
Okay, what about boosters? Do you support the move to reduce the time frame on boosters? There seems to be a reluctance at this stage to go from 4 to 3 months.
Well, look, I think, you know, we should be really guided by the health advice, and we've got great health experts and we can see what's happening around the world. So I'm assuming that they are doing that scan and making that decision and looking at that evidence. But, you know, it's a question that you definitely would be asking, you know, to be honest, which is why couldn't you go from 4 to 3 months? And the, you know, all we're trying to do is make sure we've got our defences in place. We've got all the insurance policies we need and the backups we need to make sure that when this thing takes off, we're not starting to have a conversation in the middle of it. We're actually have prepared for it, and we actually, you know, can go to those places where we didn't want to go to, but we have to go to. So from my point of view, look, that's a question that we should get an answer for really quickly, you know. And again, you'd go to work today, you'd ask the officials today to say, look, in 24 hours, you sure can give me a response as to whether it's 4 months or 3 months. Let's make that decision, get it done, move forward.
Okay, what about schools? What is your feeling about the return of schools and the risk that that poses?
Well, look, I mean, I think, you know, we've got to get our kids back into schools. It's been really disruptive. When you talk to parents up and down the country, there are a whole bunch of challenges, not just in the academic learning, but in social development as well. So it's really important we have a goal of, like, how do we get our kids to school safely? I think, again, rapid antigen tests for students and teachers. Again, you look at what New South Wales proposed, 2 rapid antigen tests per student, per teacher, per week. And, you know, those kind of protocols that we can put in place around masking, certainly around ventilation, those sorts of things. We've got to be able to keep going forward.
So do you think that testing idea of which, as you say, New South Wales is doing, and they're a bit further along than us, but if we get to that point where there's obviously a lot of Omicron in schools, you would support the idea, and who knows whether we'll have enough tests, 2 tests a week for students, that would be one way to keep schools open?
Well, I guess I'm just trying to look at, you know, with the great advantage we have, Corinne, is that we are a fast follower, right? Everything happens around the world in front of us. I mean, we have, you know, 2 to 3 months in advance to respond. And so when there are good ideas in other parts of the world, let's just steal them. You know, let's just make it work and get it implemented here so we actually de-risk this for ourselves. That's what's in our interest, is to de-risk it for us and our people. So why wouldn't we look at ideas like that, for sure?
Well, one of the things that New Zealand has done, I guess we're not necessarily a fast follower, we've been a leader, which has been the MIQ situation and closing our borders. Would you open borders now? I know ACT's been suggesting that, in fact, there's not a lot of benefit now in having the border closed as it is. What is National's position?
Well, look, I think until you get to a point where community cases are greater than the cases we're seeing at the border, you know, imagine a world where we're doing 1,000 cases a day, 10,000 cases a day, and we're seeing, you know, 50 to 100 to, you know, a couple of hundred sort of border cases coming through. At that point, really the defence of the MIQ system is then in question at that point. So I think for where we sit right now, it's a question of, I think it's going to be a topic that's going, we're going to come back to.
So you actually support the government's current position, which is you don't want to actually seed more cases than is necessary at the start?
At the start, I think, you know, the point is very clear, which is the risk is sitting at the border rather than the community. That's going to flip and change literally within a matter of days or weeks. And then at that point, you've got to ask the question, why can't we have returning Kiwis come home when there's actually, you know, the risk is actually in the community, not sitting at the border?
National Party leader Christopher Luxon, thank you very much for your time.